Good morning. Thank you for joining us at Highway Online this morning. If you're watching us live or if you're watching us on demand at a later time, I'm so glad that you're taking time and paused to spend a few minutes with us. We're going to continue a Christmas series called The Prophecies of Christmas. And we're looking at the information that God gave. So God spoke hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus to tell us that Jesus was coming, the Messiah was going to be born. And so we ask ourselves, why would God do this? I think God wanted to make sure that we did not miss the fact that a Savior was coming. A Savior was going to be born. And he wanted us to be able to recognize his arrival, recognize when he came into this world. Today we're going to look at a prophecy spoken by the prophet Micah. And here's what we know about Micah. We don't have a whole lot of information about him, but we believe he is from southern Judah and most likely a small town. He's a contemporary of Isaiah. We listen to what Isaiah said last week, if you joined us then. And so he is a contemporary. They ministered and spoke, lived in Judah at the same time. Our assumption is they would have probably known each other as well. And here's what we know about Micah's ministry. He ministered during the reigns of three kings of Judah, King Jotham, King Ahaz, and King Hezekiah. Micah foretold the fall of Samaria, the northern kingdom, Israel. And he also foretold about the inevitable desolation of Judah that would take place later by the Babylonians. His ministry is unique in that he would speak words of doom and then he would speak words of hope. And he goes back and forth between doom and hope. He talks about the judgment of God and then he talks about the deliverance of God. So today we're going to pick up a prophecy about Jesus' birth that we find in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And this is what it says. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Now, Bethlehem is not new to the story of the Bible. Genesis 35 first tells us about Rachel. And when Rachel was giving birth to her son Benjamin, she died and was buried in Bethlehem. And Benjamin, of course, becomes one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Bethlehem is also the setting for the story of Ruth. If you don't know the story of Ruth, there's a whole book of the Bible dedicated to this story. But Ruth is a Moabite. And what happens is Naomi is a Israeli lady, her and her husband moved from Bethlehem to Moab during a time of famine. They raised their two sons there. Their two sons fall in love and get married, and then tragedy strikes this family. And Naomi's husband and her two sons both die in the land of Moab. And as Naomi is older in age, she decides she's going to go back to her hometown, back to Bethlehem. And so she goes, and through a course of events, Ruth, her daughter-in-law, comes to be with her, to stay with her, to live with her, and just help take care of her. While Ruth is back in Bethlehem through gleaning and finding wheat, she meets Boaz. Boaz eventually marries Ruth, and they eventually have a son, and that son has a son, and that son has a son. And so much so that the Bible tells us that Ruth is the great-grandmother of King David. And of course, Bethlehem is the birthplace of King David. David was a surprising choice to be king the day he was chosen. In fact, the prophet Samuel was sent to David's father's house, the house of Jesse, and God says to Samuel, go, you're going to anoint the next king of Israel. And so he goes to Bethlehem to the house of Jesse, and Jesse brings all of his sons before him, and all of them look like great people who could be kings. They're tall, they're big, they're muscular probably. Like they were all healthy and strong. And every time one comes before the prophet thinks, this is the one. And God says to him, no, God actually says this, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so finally, after all the sons have come through, the prophet says to Jesse, do you have any more sons? He goes, oh yeah, we have one. The young one, the little one. The little one, the insignificant one, he's out in the fields taking care of the sheep. And the prophet says, bring him to me. And when he comes in, immediately God says, that's the one, anoint him. And David there in his father's home, in the quietness of that place, is anointed the next king of Israel. So this is the prophecy by Micah that, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small. And this reminds us of what Matthew writes when he writes about the Christmas story, about the nativity. Matthew writes this in chapter 2, verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. Why did God choose Bethlehem? Notice how Micah says, you are small. See, it was located in the hill country of Judah. It was about 8 kilometers south of Jerusalem. It was an unwalled, defenseless little town, little city. The population at Jesus' time they figure is between 200 and 300 people. In fact, during times of major attacks in that region, the people would flee from Bethlehem into the safety of Jerusalem. But a few hundred years prior to Jesus' birth, Bethlehem was quite a decent-sized city with probably several thousand people in it. It had walls. It had a thriving economy. It had industry. Its proximity to Jerusalem meant that people were always traveling through Bethlehem on their way to a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. It was a good place to be. But then about 130 years before Jesus was born, there was some kind of a revolt against the Romans. And the Romans came to Bethlehem and tore down its walls and destroyed a large part of the city. And people left, and only about, like I said, 200 to 300 people were left remaining in this small town of Bethlehem. What does the choice of Bethlehem speak to us about today? Why is Bethlehem so important in the narrative story of Christmas? Why does God go out of his way, way in advance, about 700 years in advance, to tell us that the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem? Because Bethlehem has some things to teach us. And the first thing that Bethlehem teaches us is nothing is small and insignificant to God. Though you are small amongst the clans of Judah. See, Bethlehem, for everything I just told you about it, is not the place for a king to be born. I mean, if God wants to make a big splash about the Messiah's birth, if God wants to announce to the whole world, and to Israel especially, to Judah, that the Messiah is coming. Do you think he would do it in an obscure little place? But that's what he chose to. But if you and I were planning this, that's not what we would do. We would make sure that he was born in a place like Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem is a mighty city. It has walls. It has its own army to protect the city. I mean, Jerusalem is the place to be. Scholars believe that there could have been like 600,000 people, maybe even closer to 1 million, living in Jerusalem at the time that Jesus was born. I mean, if you're going to make a big splash and have the King of Kings born, wouldn't you want him to be born in Jerusalem? But that's not what Jesus does. That would have been the easy way. But Jesus chooses Bethlehem. Bethlehem that was best known as the place of the hometown of King David. But Bethlehem has lost its luster of those early years. Its best days were far behind it, way in the past. It's not the place for kings to be born, but it's the place that God chose for the Messiah to be born. And like I said, not only did God choose it, but God told us that he chose it, and God told us about 700 years in advance. Talk about sending out the notification. And Bethlehem teaches us that God doesn't judge anything by the standards of the world. God doesn't dismiss what might seem small and insignificant. Remember, David's family thought he was small and insignificant. The world thought Bethlehem was small and insignificant. Sometimes, do you feel small and insignificant? But the story of Christmas and the choice of Bethlehem reminds us and tells us that God sees no one and nothing as small and insignificant. See, God doesn't need you to measure up to the standards of this world. God doesn't want you to measure your life by the standard of what the world thinks is measurable. God doesn't judge your life by the standards of the world. God judges your life by the standards of who he is. God judges your life by the standards of his word. Are you living according to God's standards? Are you doing the things that God calls you to do? Are you being the person that God has created you to be? Because God knew you when he knit you together in your mother's womb, the Bible tells us. And God made you with significance. And God made you with importance. And it doesn't matter how the rest of the world sees you. What really matters is how God sees you and how you relate to God. See, God can use anything, big or small, popular or insignificant in the world's standards. God could use anything, and God wants to use you. Will you allow your life to be lived for God's purposes? Will you allow your life to be measured by God's standards? Would you remember that in God's eyes, you are neither small nor insignificant, that God cares about you? So Bethlehem teaches us that nothing is small and insignificant. And Bethlehem also teaches us that God keeps his word. Think of all the things that God had to do to make sure that a prophecy spoken by Micah 700 years before the birth of Jesus had to come true. There are things in the prophecies and the birth of Jesus that are so important that God had to do for hundreds and hundreds and almost 1,000 years and more, going back to Abraham and going back to King David and now Micah. All of this. See, God had promised King David that the Messiah would be born in his bloodline, in his lineage, in his family. God had to maintain the bloodline of David for 1,000 years from the time of the promise to David to the birth of Jesus. Remember last week when we talked about the prophecy from Isaiah, we talked about King Ahaz, that the two kings, king of Syria and the king of Israel, had plotted to take over Judah, get rid of King Ahaz, destroy him, and put their own puppet king in. Now that could have brought an end to the line of David, but God said to Ahaz, this will never happen. They will never overthrow you. There's an important story in 2 Kings chapter 11. Oh, this is where the bloodline of David almost stopped, but God stepped in. I'll tell you the story real briefly, but about 130 years after David, a king had risen to the throne, and then he had died, and his wife His wife was evil, and she decided that she wanted to be the ruler of Judah. And so she killed all the men in her husband's family so that there were none left. And she actually assumed the throne of Judah for a little while, for a few years actually. But what happened unbeknownst to her is the youngest son was rescued by his aunt and hidden by a nurse and then hidden by one of the priests of Judah. And they hid him for years until he was old enough to be king. And then the priest brought him out and he became the rightful king. That little boy who became king was Joash. And if not for the faith of an aunt and a nurse and a faithful priest, the line of David could have ended. But God kept his word, and Joash continued the lineage of David. And then remember, I told you the Romans had come to destroy Bethlehem, but Bethlehem was not allowed to be destroyed. Yes, it had suffered greatly. The Romans had torn down its walls and left it fairly desolate, fairly decimated. 200 to 300 people remained there. But the city remained because God had already foretold it 700 years earlier. And God made sure that Bethlehem was around. What about all the human decisions of obedience to God's word, obedience to God's call, all the different elements that play into the Christmas story that we so often like to talk about at this time of year? There's the faithfulness of Mary, a young virgin teenager who is willing to accept what God wanted to do in her life. And this young virgin became the mother of the Messiah. I guess she could have refused the invitation from the angel, but she doesn't. May it be to me as you have said. And what about the obedience of Joseph? Quite the man. I mean, he receives a dream and he recognizes that God is speaking to him, and without hesitation, he gets up and he's faithful to what God calls him to do. What about a census being ordered? How and why is a census ordered just then? Did God maybe move on the heart of a pagan king, Caesar Augustus, so that he would call such a census to be called where people would have to return to the hometowns of their lineage? And the Bible shows us that both Mary and Joseph are descendants from the line of David, and they had to go to the city of David. And the city of David is none other than what I already showed you, Bethlehem. Imagine if Mary and Joseph decided she's too pregnant to travel. Nobody will ever notice if we don't show up for the census. Can you imagine if partway in the journey they stopped short of Bethlehem and said, you know what? It's more comfortable here and the baby's about to come. But that's not what happened. They traveled on in obedience. Well, what does all of this mean for you and me today in 2021? Well, Bethlehem reminds us this. If something is God's will and he has spoken it over your life, God will keep his word to you. So God is the God who keeps his word. If God tells you something, you can trust it. And how can you trust it? You can trust it because you could look at the story of Bethlehem. You can look at the word of the prophet Micah when he says, "In you, Bethlehem, the Messiah is going to be born." And not only does God tell us in advance, he tells us 700 years in advance. There's no mistaking that God had spoken that. It had been written. It had been recorded. And the Jewish people had held on to that promise for hundreds and hundreds of years. It wasn't a coincidence. It was a plan of God. And if God could do that for Bethlehem, can you imagine what God will do for you? That God is the God who keeps his word. That God loves you and cares for you. And if God gives you a promise, you could live your life on the promise of God because he will make it come true. And the third thing that Bethlehem teaches us is that God came from mankind. Look at the story of Christmas as Luke tells it in chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. A Savior has been born in Bethlehem. This is the promised Messiah. This is the woman's seed who will crush the head of Satan. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the one who would be ruler over Israel. This is the coming King. This is the one who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A Savior was born for you. Jesus was born to be your Savior. He was born to die on a cross for you. He was born as God's expression of love towards you. He was born as God's original Christmas gift to you, for God to show you that He loved you in a tangible way. And He came to tell us and to tell you about the love that God has for you, because a Savior was born for you. 700 years before Jesus is born, God tells us exactly where we will find His birth. O little town of Bethlehem. It teaches us that nothing is too small or insignificant for God. It teaches us that God always keeps His word, and it teaches us that a Savior has come to this world. If God can do that, if God could speak something and work for 700 years to make His promise come true, if God could do that, if God could tell the world that Bethlehem is the birthplace of the Savior, if God could do that, then Bethlehem has to teach you this, that you can trust God with your life. You can trust God. You can trust Him. It's up to you. It's your choice. You get to choose if you're going to trust God or not. You can fight God. You can doubt God. You can disobey God. You can refuse to even acknowledge that God exists. You could do all of that. That's your choice. You can refuse to accept Him. You can refuse to follow Him. But remember, it's your choice, and if you do that, you are choosing to walk away from God. You're choosing to walk away from all that God has and wants for your life. But remember this, if God is faithful to Bethlehem, God is faithful to you. You can trust God with your life. It's your choice. You get to choose. You get to make it. But what if you want to? What if you want to trust God with your life? What if maybe you're watching and listening right now and you're saying, you know what? I need to know more about this Jesus. I need to know more about God. What if Bethlehem today has spoken to you of God's love? What if Bethlehem's story today has awaken something in your heart and your spirit that has you longing to want to know God? I want you to know today that Jesus just isn't the baby of Christmas. That Christmas isn't just about the story of a baby. That Christmas is a story about God's love for you. That God cares for you. That God is reaching out to you even today, over all of these centuries and millennia, that God's love for you is the same today as the day that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You can accept that love. You can welcome God's love into your life. You could welcome Jesus as not just a baby of Christmas, but you can welcome Jesus into your life as the Savior of your soul. If you want to know more about a relationship with God through Jesus, if you want to know more about what it is to follow Jesus and follow God, if you want to know more about what the importance of the Bible is in the life of a follower of Jesus, a Christian, a believer, then I want to be able to help you. And I'm going to ask you to reach out to us. If you would pick up your phone and text us the word love, because God loves you, text it to 416-267-1189. Please follow the prompts so we can get back in touch with you. And we will reach out to you in the coming days, and we want to be there to help you as you begin a spiritual journey with God. Or if you have questions about knowing more about God, reach out to us the same way. Text us the word love to our number, 416-267-1189, and we will be so happy to help you know more about God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we could just come to you. We thank you for the story of Christmas. We thank you for the little town of Bethlehem that speaks so much and so strongly into the story of your love for us as people, as mankind. Lord, help us to pause and recognize the true importance of Christmas. And help us to recognize that the baby of Christmas, that baby Jesus, is the Savior of the world. We give you all glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're so glad that you've been part of Highway Online or Highway On Demand this week. I just trust that you are excited about this Christmas season. I want to remind you that Highway is a place to belong, and there's always a place for you to belong here. I hope that you've been chatting with us in the chat this morning. If you're on demand, of course, the chat's not there, but continue to meet with us online and in our chat rooms, and we just love to have you with us. I want to remind you that we are open on-site as well Sunday mornings at 10:30 in the Highway building. And if you live locally, we're inviting you. You feel free to come and meet us in person. And if maybe that's too far or too difficult for you to do right now, just continue to meet with us here at Highway Online. You have a great week. Remember the true meaning of Christmas. And may you go with God's presence. God bless you.